We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
No sports, no rock, no information for mindless chatter. We're your station.
Stand by for news.
News on the mark.
Newsroom in New York.
You have tuned in Turn on the News, the weekly newscast from the radio network, with all the radio coverage of the radio. Now with computerized news readers, with fewer meddling humans, and more aggregated reporting and automated music. Tune in Turn on the News each week for the latest news, radio art, and more from our robot reporters, making sure you hear both sides, good and evil, every time you turn on the news.
Then I'll just, there's good news.
These are dangerous times.
Keep on wailing.
excited.
And it feels so good.
Reindicted.
Because we understood. There's one perfect fit. And sugar, this one is it. We both are so excited. Cause we're
reindicted.
Breaking news in Georgia's investigation into alleged interference in the 2020 presidential election. CBS News has learned that a Fulton County grand jury has voted to indict Donald Trump for his alleged efforts to overturn his 2020 election loss to then-president-elect Joe Biden. This is the fourth criminal indictment of the former president in less than 5 months.
One.
Indictment.
One.
Indictment.
Right. Gotcha.
Two.
Indictment.
Now will you cut that out?
Three.
Indictment.
Four. One, two, three, four. All together. Four.
Indictment.
One, two, three, four.
John Gotti never even had four indictments at once.
Multiple sources tell CBS News former President Trump is expected to be arraigned in Georgia next week following his fourth criminal indictment.
That's a night that the lights went out in Georgia. That's a night that they hung an innocent man. Well, don't trust your soul to no backwoods southern lawyer. Cause the judge in the town's got bloodstains on his hands.
I did everything right and they indicted me.
Trump faces several racketeering charges stemming from his alleged efforts to overturn the 2020 election in Georgia. Fulton County District Attorney Fani Willis has ordered the former president and 18 others indicted in Georgia to surrender by August 25th. Sources are also telling CBS News that Trump is unlikely to participate in the first Republican presidential primary debate. Now, that's scheduled to take place just 2 days before the district attorney's deadline.
That's a night that the lights went out in Georgia. That's a night that they hung an innocent man. Well, don't trust your soul to no backwoods southern lawyer. Cause the judge in the town's got bloodstains on his hands.
We're still waiting to find out when former President Trump and his co-defendants are going to turn themselves in to authorities here.
I am giving the defendants the opportunity to voluntarily surrender no later than noon on Friday, the 25th day of August.
What is becoming clear is the scope of the charges they face and how they're beginning to defend themselves.
Former President Trump intensifying his attacks on a criminal justice system that has now charged him in four places at once, lashing out on social media about a stolen election. Republican Governor Brian Kemp defending his state, posting the 2020 election in Georgia was not stolen. Trump is charged with 13 counts, including racketeering. The indictment putting him atop a criminal organization that also includes 18 aides, attorneys, and associates, and 30 unnamed co-conspirators, all allegedly conspiring to strong-arm Georgia into helping Trump cling to power. Rudy Giuliani peddled false claims about poll workers stealing ballots.
Quite obviously, surreptitiously passing around USB ports as if they're vials of heroin or cocaine.
Giuliani now says he's being indicted for being a lawyer.
I thought when I was doing this, I was protected by the fact I was defending him.
Mark Meadows is trying to move the charges against him to federal court, arguing he was acting as part of his job as White House chief of staff. The indictment details 11 calls Trump made allegedly trying to pressure Republican officials. Prosecutors also take aim at a plot to recruit bogus electors who sent false votes to Washington. One of them, David Schaefer, says his conduct was lawful, appropriate, and specifically authorized by the U.S. Constitution. The district attorney wants to try them all together.
Do I intend to try the 19 defendants in this indictment together? Yes.
That's a night that the lights went out in Georgia. Oh, oh, oh. That's a night that they hung an innocent man. Oh, oh. Well, don't trust your soul and all backwoods southern lawyer.
Judge in the town's got blood stains on his hands.
Donald Trump was just indicted in a RICO case. This is a law that was initially created to target specific problems in trying to charge the elusive mafia.
The laws were written for any organization that turns itself into a criminal ongoing organization.
It is the Racketeering Influenced and Corrupt Organizations statute.
RICO. If they pool their money, we can charge them all as one criminal conspiracy.
Charge them with what?
In a RICO case, if you can charge one of the conspirators with a felony, you can charge
all of them.
If you can charge one, you can charge them all. That is different than how many criminal statutes work. And it started as a federal law, and now different states have their own versions. The law was first designed to go after the mafia. Over the decades, though, prosecutors have expanded it as a powerful tool for any criminal enterprise.
Rather than abide by Georgia's legal process for election challenges, the defendants engaged in a criminal racketeering enterprise to overturn Georgia's presidential election result. As you examine the indictment, you will see acts that are identified as overt acts and those that are identified as predicate acts, sometimes called acts of racketeering activity. The RICO charges has time that you have to serve, so it is not a probated sentence.
When we look at the RICO Act, it originally was a federal act. It goes back to around 1970, and it was meant for the mob. It was to put the mob out of business. It's about a racketeering influence corrupt organizations. So the mob was a corrupt organization. Then it got used in unions. That was also a way of looking at mob behavior that had gone into unions. And eventually there were prosecutors who decided that this was a creative tool, that if you could get a number of people that you could see that they formed a group, an enterprise, that perhaps their activity could be considered an enterprise of racketeering activity. Fani Willis, this prosecutor, is someone who likes using this statute. She has used it before in the hip-hop world. She actually used it with a group of teachers involved with a cheating scandal. That would be the last group I would think of. But here, she has looked and not only taken lots of people, where we have 19 defendants, she's looked at intent in Georgia, coming from intent also in other states. Very creative.
Why these set of charges is different than what we've seen before?
Different because it is harsh and it cannot be escaped. Mm. If you have federal charges, of which we have two indictments, the January 6th indictment in D.C., the Mar-a-Lago indictment in Florida, if Donald Trump were to be elected president, or if some other Republican who was friendly to the interests of Donald Trump, if he were convicted, wanted to pardon him or he wanted to pardon himself, they would go forward with that. State indictments are different. There is no such thing as a federal pardon for a state indictment. The case in New York, by anyone's standards, is a minor case. This is a serious case, and RICO in Georgia carries a penalty of 5 to 20 years. That means there would be some prison time if Donald Trump or any of the other 19 defendants are convicted of a RICO conspiracy.
Wow. There are 41 felony counts as part of this indictment, including 13 against Trump. Any stand out besides the racketeering?
This is like a novel long form. The RICO indictment is really everything in this case. When you look at what the acts are for Donald Trump, I don't think that they're surprising. We begin with the phone call to Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger.
Hello? Hello? If we could just go over some of the numbers, I think it's... Hello?
Here.
All I want to do is this. I just want to find 11,780 gloves, which is one more than we have.
No.
11,780 gloves that we need.
No.
11,780 gloves to win the election.
No.
Fellas, I need 11,000 votes. Give me a break, please.
No, sir.
Dead people.
No.
Phony ballots.
Whoa.
The women and men started screaming.
Stacey
Abrams. The internet dominion machines.
We did a hand retaliation.
11,780 votes to win the election.
And
I need these votes. And I don't care how long it takes me. And there's nothing What a schmuck I was. You know the internet? You know what was trending on the internet? This thing.
So Georgia, look at Georgia. Once one of our great states, one of our great Trump states, I won it very bigly in 2016. And also, by the way, that's right, I won it in 2020. They don't want me, oh, don't say that, sir, don't say it. Now I'm saying it. I'm saying it, and I'll say it louder. I won very big in Georgia in 2020. They don't like that. Too bad. Now, I remember, I used to love Georgia. I used to love it. Now, cause now it's like, it's a sad place. When I was campaigning in 2016, we were going to go to Georgia, and there's a campaign, we were in Mar-a-Lago, and we watched a movie called Deliverance. I said, oh, it takes place in Georgia. Let's watch this. And we prepared, and it was a tough movie. And I remember Mike Pence, straight to Mike Pence, after watching Deliverance, first person to volunteer to go to Georgia and do strong campaign. He said, sir, let me be the first. I'll go and I'll get on all fours and campaign like a prayer warrior for you, sir. And I said, okay, Mike, calm down. But okay, we'll send you to Georgia if that's what you want. If you want Deliverance, you can go there and get Deliverance. And what we got out of Mike Pence was a wet blanket full of treason. Very sad what happened to him. And now we get to 2020. And I make a call to Ben Roethlisberger, Secretary of State. Used to be a friend. Used to golf at Mar-a-Lago with me. Used to be a football player, so I thought he was tough. But I called him and asked him to find the votes. Not to make up votes. Excuse me. Shut up. To make up votes. I didn't say that. I said to find the missing votes. Okay? Very big difference. And he said, no, I can't do that, sir. And I said, you know what? I wish they convicted you, Big Ben. You're acting like Small Ben right now. And so from those things, they come up with a criminal case because they put what you're talking about, Willis, a black in charge of prosecutions down there. And it seems whenever you put a black in charge of prosecutions, they come after Trump because they're racist. They're racist, okay? And they probably learned that I said the N-word a lot in private. So how can they fairly prosecute me when they know that, okay? So, and on top of that, I'm stronger on criminal justice than them. I once asked for the death penalty for innocent teenagers. That's how strong. I'm willing to execute innocent teenagers just to prove how strong I am on crime. Nobody's stronger on crime than me. And, well, we call it criminal justice. I didn't mean to. You know what I meant. Now you're going to say that now I said I do crime. I don't do crime. I actually do non-crime. That's what it's called. And now we have to go to Georgia and fight. And we have to fight, and guess what? This isn't going to be like January 6th, which was a peaceful protest. I've already talked to some of the strongest blacks I know. Because, you know, they say fight fire with fire. Well, I'm going to fight blacks with blacks. And I've talked to Herschel Walker, who I call him Tim Scott on steroids, because he's such a good guy, but he's so strong. So obedient, but so tough. He's got MMA skills. He's got football skills. He's got CTE, MMA. He's an AA, African-American. So we're going to send Herschel to the grand jury when they're voting. And he's going to tackle everybody. He's going to totally destroy everybody in the Georgia grand jury. And then we'll see if they come out with a pulse, let alone a true bill. So thank you, Herschel, for your strong patriotism. Instead of January 6th, we're calling it an August 15th. And it's going to be called Augteenth. We're coming up with a new non-woke holiday to celebrate a black named Herschel Walker, who's going to peacefully assault the grand jury in Georgia. So thank you, Herschel. Fight for your president. Fight for justice. And we'll see what happens.
When we look at other things that Donald Trump said or did, his own tweets, his own post-election statements become the basis of many of the aspects of this case.
And Politico reports this. Special Counsel Jack Smith obtained an extraordinary array of data from Twitter about Trump's account, from direct messages to draft tweets to location data, newly unsealed court filings reveal. Here's one reason why that matters, according to the New York Times reporting. Quote, while it remained unclear what sorts of information the messages contained and who exactly may have written them, it was a revelation that there were private messages associated with the Twitter account of Mr. Trump, who has famously been cautious about using written forms of communication in his dealings with aides and allies. According to the court filings, Twitter ultimately handed over direct messages that were sent, received, deleted, and stored in drafts, you name it, but only after dragging its feet. Politico reports this, quote, U.S. District Judge Beryl Howell held Twitter, now known as X, in contempt of court in February, fining that company $350,000 for missing a court-ordered deadline to comply with Smith's search warrant. And there's more. Politico also reports that the filings show this, quote, Howell lit into Twitter for taking extraordinary and apparently unprecedented steps to give Trump advance notice about the search warrant. That's despite prosecutors' warnings backed by unspecified evidence that notifying Trump could cause grave damage to their investigation. Quote, is this to make Trump feel like he is a particularly welcomed new renewed user of Twitter? Judge Howell asked. At one point, the judge asking attorneys for Twitter this, quote, is it because the new CEO wants to cozy up with the former president? Referencing the site's new owner, Elon Musk.
Several of the attorneys who represented Donald Trump's efforts to overturn the 2020 election were never paid for their work.
What?
Pay anybody.
I mean, this is
so cheap.
Like, seriously, did they not know this going in?
They're just so excited to be with him.
Like, are they now going, oh my God, you mean he.
What? He doesn't pay?
You mean the great pumpkin doesn't rise from the pumpkin patch?
It doesn't.
Every Halloween evening to
that
give.
That big orange pumpkin.
Candy to boys and girls?
This latest news is according to testimony from congressional investigators and Federal Election Commission records. Not only were they not compensated.
Wait, but he stole $250 million from his supporters.
So dumb.
And he lied to his supporters that this was to stop the steal. He raised $250 million and he did not pay them?
Not only were they not compensated, their lawsuits and false claims helped the Trump campaign and allies raise $250 million. As CNBC reports, among those who were stiffed, Trump's closest ally, Rudy Giuliani. The records show that Giuliani's companies were only reimbursed for travel and not the $20,000 a day he requested to be paid. That's a whole other story.
Yeah, but I've got to say...
$20,000 a day?
I've got to say, Giuliani may not have gotten paid for his work with Donald Trump after the election, but he did get indicted. So there's that. Six of one, half dozen of the other.
So this is now the fourth indictment of the ex-president in a little over 4 months. It brings the total number of felony charges he faces to 91. As the folks at Insider noted, before Donald Trump, the average number of felonies charged per president of the United States was zero. After the George indictment, it's up to 1.9 felonies per president averaged across all 45 men. When Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg charged Donald Trump in connection with the hush money payments to Stormy Daniels in 2016, they claimed he was just a rogue local prosecutor out to get Trump for something that happened a long time ago. But then when the ex-president was caught with boxes full of classified documents that he stored in his bathroom, well, then they said the Justice Department, this time the national prosecutor, not a local prosecutor, but this was the Justice Department being weaponized by Joe Biden. And what about Joe Biden's garage? And when that same special counsel, Jack Smith, brought the second federal indictment against Trump for trying to steal the 2020 election, they said he was trying to take away the ex-president's First Amendment rights. And now that he's being prosecuted in Georgia under the racketeering statute, not the weaponized Biden Justice Department, now we're back to another rogue prosecutor going after him for political reasons from a liberal jurisdiction. When you put it all together, it's ludicrous. It's obviously, plainly reverse engineered around defending Donald Trump over all else. Are we all really equal under the eyes of the law? Is that how it is, and is that how it should be? Or is there a group of people who get to run the country with an iron fist, even if they are the minority, because the power belongs to them in some deeper sense?
Thanks for the songs from Founders, Peaches and Herb, Feist, Vicki Lawrence, The Clash, and Gregory Brothers. And thanks for the clips and excerpts from Robert Costa, The Count, Kermit the Frog, Al Chervik, Donald Trump, Rudy Giuliani, Fonnie Willis, Ari Melber, Harvey Dent, J.L. Coven, Nicole Wallace, Mika Brzezinski, Joe Scarborough, and Chris Hayes.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.